Excellent. Okay. Well, welcome everyone to the Ashland Park and Recreation Commission Senior Ashland Senior Advisory Committee, ASAC. This is our regular bi-monthly meeting. It's January 9th, 2003, 3:30. We're meeting via Zoom. And first on our agenda would be the approval of minutes from the November 14th meeting. I'd ask for a motion to approve unless there's any corrections or additions that need to be made. Move to approve. Do I have a second? Second. All in favor, you can just raise your hand and say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Minutes are read into the record.
I'm sorry, I missed who motioned and seconded, if you could
say that. Jim motioned and Sandy seconded.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. We have no other additions or deletions to today's agenda. So I was going to take the opportunity during public input just to introduce Bob Kaplan, new city councilor, to the group. And Bob, if you want to make any little introduction, now would be the time. Or if you just want to listen, that's fine, too.
Well, I'll just say hi to everybody and make the point that I'm not. So I just was sworn in last week to the Ashland City Council, and the mayor will be making appointments for council liaisons to various committees and commissions. I don't know if it's going to be next week or a couple of weeks. So I'm exploring the being the liaison to the ASAC commission. We'll see how you guys behave during this meeting and whether I decide whether I want to go ahead with that or not. But I had a really great...
We're on trial, huh?
Well, we're all on trial every day of the year, I suppose.
But it's a rowdy group.
It's a rowdy group. And I had a really wonderful visit with Eileen, I think it was a week ago or maybe two. And it was really fabulous and got a real sense of all that you do. So thank you. Thank you for what you do to support our seniors division. Thanks.
You know,
mostly I just want to listen and learn.
Okay. Well, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. And thanks for coming to the meeting. I just want to reinforce the fact that it is really important to this group to have a liaison from the council to make sure that we're tied into what's happening in the city and or gives us a conduit to maybe make some of the important things that we think need to happen in town be carried on to the council at appropriate times. So glad to see you here, Bob. And we have no one else for public input. So I will turn it over to Eileen to maybe tee up the program for today.
Yes. So I want to thank Kendall Berkowitz from Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley for being here today. Just to set that up for you all, Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley is a nonprofit that's been around. Actually, Kendall will have to tell us exactly how many years, but it's definitely over five that I'm aware of. And their mission has been to help do home improvements that can help seniors stay in their homes to make the home more accessible. And she will explain that much better, but I just want to connect this to some of the presentations we've had regarding housing for seniors and some of the different aspects of that we've talked about at different times. And one of the things that's arisen is how can people adapt their homes to be safe for them as they age? And one of the answers in our community is Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. So with that, I'm going to turn that over to Kendall and let you introduce yourself more thoroughly and present to us.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me today. I hope you can hear me okay. I'm on my AirPods in our little recording studio. So doing things virtually is always so interesting. But yes, so my name's Kendall. I'm the executive director here at Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley. And I do have a presentation I can go through officially with slides, or I can just talk. I'm okay either way. Can I share screen?
Natalie will set you up for that.
Yep, I just made you a co-host, Kendall, so you should be able to do pretty much everything.
Oh, watch out, everybody. Okay. Let's see here. And I'm kind of notorious for zipping through this because I just don't ever want anyone to be bored. So if I need to slow down, let me know. Can everybody see that okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, Rebuilding Together Rogue Valley, we are a nonprofit. We started in 2013 and we're still going, though things have changed, which we'll be talking about. And essentially, Eileen was right. What we're here to do is essentially make sure that older adults, people with disabilities, and particularly people with a low income are able to remain safely in their home. We know there's a lot of really important reasons for that. Dignity, of course, is at the highest. We know that being connected to your community and being able to stay where you're comfortable, seeing your family where you're comfortable, all of that is very important to being a healthy and happy person. So that's our goal. And just an interesting tidbit, I started here before the Alameda fires. But one thing that I've learned in kind of being a part of a lot of the conversations around how do we get people back into safe homes after losing their home in the fire, is that homes aren't really built to be accessible in the first place. Which is so interesting. I'm sure that's a whole, you know, bigger conversations, bigger than me. But, you know, just by building broader hallways, for example, we could definitely do some good for a lot of people, but that's an aside. So yeah, in 2013, we started with Grandma's Porch and we have what's called CAP certified contractors, certified aging in place specialists. And their job is to go into the home and talk to the client to see what we could do to just keep them safe. So most of the time, these are things like grab bars or shower wands or toilet risers, bed rails, that kind of stuff. But we'll identify some other things as well sometimes, like carpets that are tripping hazards, outlets that aren't working properly, those types of things. We just want to keep them safe for as long as possible. A lot of emergency room visits are avoidable if someone is in a home that is basically built to accommodate them. In 2018, we joined with Rebuilding Together. We did that because Grandma's Porch wasn't big enough. We realized that the needs in the community, unfortunately, we're one of the only organizations here that's doing anything like this. And there was more need. So we joined the national organization Rebuilding Together, which has given us access to a lot of things that we might not have been able to access just as a local organization. So in 2021, we received some grant opportunities that I'll dive into a little bit later with USDA.
Kendall, what? Can I just ask you, there's a pop-up that you can hide at the bottom saying that Zoom is showing your screen. Would you mind hiding that? Because it's blocking off the screen. Thank you.
Yeah. So USDA, Federal Home Loan Bank, HUD, we have a few other CDBG. We'll go over our grant opportunities today before I'm done. And then in 2022, everything changed. It was just a crazy year. I was our manager of operations and outreach. We went through a couple of executive directors. Everything essentially went the way we thought that it would, or I thought it would, which is that it kind of fell apart. And we had to stop. We had to stop everything we were doing. We had to freeze. We had to look at our assets, we had to look at whether or not this was truly something that was still doable for us. And ultimately we decided that it was with some changes. And so that's finally where we are now. So I'm in a much better place, even than the last time I talked to Eileen on the phone about where Rebuilding Together is at this point. So I don't know that I need to go over what a grant is. I think probably everybody here is aware, but we don't charge for our services to any of our clients. And it is not a loan program. There are some programs in the Valley that do some similar work to us and they are built as loans. So I just like to make that pretty apparent right off the bat. Specific grant opportunities that we have right now, Federal Home Loan Bank is a big one for us. That one asks us to focus in Medford, Talent, Phoenix. I can do a few outside of there, but that's the goal. Clients have to own their home. Unfortunately, that's been one of the big hurdles because they need to be low income. They also have to own their home. And whoever made that rule, I don't know. I don't know who they are, but it doesn't make things easy. And it is 20 projects, total, with half of them being veterans. If I can be over half, that's ideal. Unfortunately, it's been hard to find veterans who own their home in those three towns, but please send them my way if you know any of them. Those projects have to be $20,000 a piece. It's actually $25,000, because that's the rule of the grant. We can't be lower or higher than that. So somebody who is a veteran who owns their home in Medford, but they only need a wheelchair ramp, they won't qualify for Federal Home Loan Bank. We will always meet with somebody if we think they might qualify to see if there's anything else we might be able to offer them. It's rare that you can't spend $20,000 on somebody making their home safer, but it's happened, or at least where clients didn't want that. So that's that grant, and I have 12 spots left at the moment. USDA, I only have a few. It says one spot left. I think I actually have a couple more than that. Those are towns with less than 10,000 people in them, so they're rural towns. And we're spending about $6,000 a piece. Again, they have to own their home and they have to be low income. There are actual numbers for that, for what percentage of the AMI they have to be, but essentially low income is the most important thing to know. And then we have a really cool grant through the Older Adult Home Modification Program that's actually through HUD. We're a sub-grantee through HUD. We have an occupational therapist on staff that goes out, does an assessment to see how we can most effectively help this person. So these are clients that we're able to see with more than just our CAPS contractor. Not that that's not great, but having an occupational therapist is very cool. And again, it's actually, I think I just heard last week, it's not towns less than 10,000 anymore. We can go anywhere in the valley. They do have to own their home and they have to be low income. And we have a cap of $5,000 for those. CDBGs and grants passed. I'm not going to harp on that too much for you guys, but it exists. If anybody wants to ask questions about that, they can. So Oregon Community Foundation has awarded us quite a few times. Actually, we're very grateful to them. We're able to do DME and some ramps. And the biggest thing to remember is any open grants we have like that, it's essentially $8,000 for a ramp, $1,000 for DME. So anytime we choose to build a ramp for somebody and the waiting list for that is quite long, we're essentially saying no to 8 DME installations. And that's just something that, you know, referral partners and people in the community need to kind of understand, because we have to be a little strategic in making those decisions. And then we have a STU grant, which is Serving the Unserved. That grant is designed specifically for Josephine County and to help people who rent their homes, because that's a big hurdle that we have. And then we also have our RV COG grant. They're not specific. It's DME and ramps. But just again, every time I choose to build a ramp, I'm saying no to 8 DMEs. And then we have a fee for service with All Care, where they refer people to us for safety assessments, ramps, and essentially anything else that they feel like the client needs. And then these are just some testimonials. I don't like to necessarily read through them verbatim, because I think you guys get the idea, but essentially what we're doing is we're making sure that people can stay home as long as possible. We have people who are no longer able to be at their home. They're waiting at a skilled nursing facility just because they are in a wheelchair, unexpectedly amputation or whatever, and their hallway just isn't wide enough for a wheelchair. We have people who have been stuck in their bedrooms for years at a time, not able to get to the kitchen because their bedroom's at the end of the hall and their hallway isn't wide enough. So those are kind of the bigger things that we're doing for people. And then I wanted to include some pictures. This is a veteran home that we served through the Federal Home Loan Bank. You can see they had a tub. It was getting a little bit hard for them to get into the tub. And we were able to build a roll-in shower. There's some grab bars in there, and we redid the floors. And then this is their front steps. We didn't do much with the steps, but we gave them a railing, and we gave them that extra step at the bottom just to make that first step less dramatic, because that's getting harder and harder for them to do. This is another home that we served through our Federal Home Loan Bank grant. We redid their siding, and you can see that on the left. So as far as who's doing all this, I kind of went over that already. It's our CAPS contractor. We also have the OT now, who does some of it for us. And we have other contractors that work with us as well who are not yet CAPS certified. And so that's when I would go in and kind of help make sure that we're meeting all the necessary qualifications for that. As far as how to apply, I am a one-woman show. I'm doing all this by myself. So I'm not able to get to people as quickly as I would like. The best thing for them to do is to call that number. As an answering service, they go through all these intake questions that help me read and see if somebody qualifies for any of the grants that we have. They can also email me, and then I'll essentially send those questions over. And then help that we need, you know, we are a nonprofit, so we take donations. Also just spreading the word, especially in this valley that's so huge, to have people just talk about the work that we're doing, essentially. That's both for clients and funding opportunities. I would say grant opportunities are the biggest thing that we need right now. Our waiting list is very long for different things. And then, of course, I'm happy to go and present and talk to people too. And that's pretty much everything, but I'll take questions. I have to find my Google again. I guess it went away. There you go.
So I'll ask the first question. So how long is your waiting list?
It depends on the service. So, you know, because not everybody's coming for the same stuff. I have probably 150 people that need ramps all over the valley. We do Friday installs as well, which I didn't really touch on. Those we're getting to pretty quickly. Friday installs are things that we can do that it's low cost, high impact DME installation. So those are things like the grab bars and the shower wands. Those I'm getting to pretty fast as long as I have the funding. So that's not so bad. It's ramps that I don't have funding for, and then the larger stuff too. And I could see two hands up too.
Yeah.
Anne, I think you were.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that there is somebody in place. We have some history, several of us do, with people who founded the organization, Sharon and Howard Johnson, and then David Doy and his involvement. So I know there was sort of rocky times, and I'm really glad to hear that you're there, because it's a very important program. One of the things that David had done with, is it Bree Salvati, was one of the occupational therapists that was involved with you all at some point, had done an OLLI class. So I don't know if you're familiar with Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, but it's about maybe like 1,500 people now who are largely retired and older adults. They may not meet your lower income qualifications, but what we found with, and I'm, as you probably know, lots of people are low income, but you don't know it. So it was good for people to hear about that. And also because even if you don't meet the income criteria, knowing that you should be doing this to keep yourself from, you know, falling, it was a good message. So I don't know if you have the time for that kind of thing. Let me know if you'd like to know more about that. And also, I was wondering, when you were talking about need for volunteers, it sounds like the intake process is fairly onerous. I mean, you know, you're writing grants and all that kind of stuff, but then there's all that mechanistic stuff of answering or having people answer their questions so you know whether they qualify. So I'm just wondering if you thought about hiring volunteers for some of that kind of routine screening, not hiring, but finding volunteers for that routine screening. So
yeah, we have some volunteers that we work with, not a ton. It's something that I'm definitely open to. It's one of those things where, you know, like you touched on, this year has been, I guess it's last year now, a really humongous challenge. And so much has happened, so much has changed. I never intended on being the executive director. So I'm grateful to be here, and I'm glad that I've been able to keep up in some fashion, but it's kind of a sink or swim at the moment. So it's just not something that's been at the top of my mind, but having the answering service there to ask all the questions has been really, really helpful.
Okay.
What we aren't at yet is a system for communicating with people who don't qualify. So what we're telling people now is, if I don't contact you, it's because you didn't qualify, I don't have the funding, you know, whatever mm-hmm. is the case. But we don't have people right now who are regularly calling people saying, we got your application, which would probably be good to get at some point. So volunteers are always helpful. We have a couple, and yeah, I mean, as people come to me, I'll definitely keep it in mind.
Well, Community Volunteer Network, if you're not familiar with them, has a whole program of finding spots for people who want to volunteer in senior areas.
Is that where Cassie is? Cassie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar.
Okay.
Thank you, though.
There was another hand.
Other questions? Go ahead, Eileen.
I am curious. I saw some people working on a gutter, and one of the comments talked about rain and wind, and then you mentioned siding. So I think of all the universal design kind of things, like the ramps and the hallways and the bathrooms, but are you also doing some things that just help people stay in a home that would otherwise not be livable? Where does that part of fixes come in?
Yeah, it's. I wish there was a really simple answer, but the truth is every grant that we have allows us to do different things.
Mm.
So if somebody qualifies for a specific grant and that grant allows us to do one of those things and really try to do it, the older adult grant, for example, allows us to do door replacement, window replacement for weather, floor replacement, that kind of stuff. Whereas our USDA grant didn't allow for a lot of that, and CDBG in Medford, when we have that, was ramps only. So it truly depends on the grant they qualify for. And that, you know, part of the struggle was, how do I ask every question for every grant? And that's what took quite a bit of time. Now, when they call the intake line, every question they answer, it's not too long, it's probably 15 questions-ish, will allow me to assess for every single grant that we have. And that's streamlined. That's streamlined.
Right.
Yeah. I guess the answer is sometimes.
Kendall, you're breaking up a bit. I don't know what the connection is.
I don't know if I'm supposed to.
Yeah, you're frozen and we're on the couch.
I know your hand is up. Looks okay to me. Maybe if I stop my video. Let's see.
Ah, okay. That might be better. We missed the last couple things you said, Kendall.
I was just saying that it's just, I wish it was a simple answer, but it isn't, you know, as far as what we can do. It just depends on what they qualify for.
Okay. Deborah, did you have a question? Deborah Johnson?
Yeah, I have two questions. I know that the wait list you mentioned, which is very long, part of it is due to funding. And is the other part, or my question is, does it have anything to do with the shortage of contractors, or do you have enough contractors to do the work that needs to be done?
Yeah, I think we're finally in a good place with contractors. I have a CAPS contractor and then two others. That isn't as bad. Some of the specialty stuff is hard. One of our contractors is willing to reach out to like electricians and plumbers. I don't have anybody like that that's on speed dial or anything. So that does slow things up sometimes. But truly, funding is our biggest problem. It's just a matter of, you know, getting, I don't have any grants, for example, that specifically pay for a ramp in Medford right now. I'd have to use the RV COG grant. As I mentioned, the 8-to-1 ratio makes it really hard to make that decision too often, because a $25,000 grant will build 3 ramps at that rate. So that's made things really hard.
And do you, some people that might live in a 2-story home, do you ever have grants big enough to put in stair lifts?
I haven't had that situation come yet. I don't know what the cost of something like that would be. I'm not opposed to it by any means. you know, if they qualified and the funding was there, that's not something that I would say no to.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Anne, did you have another follow-up question?
Just to really, or comment really. I understand that wheelchairs are getting more streamlined. I'm just wondering if that's solving some of these narrow hallway issues. They're not quite as bulky. And you mentioned DME. I don't know whether wheelchairs would be in that category.
Wheelchairs are not considered DME for us, you know, for our funding that we have. I haven't had anything come up where somebody has said, you know, now that I'm in this other wheelchair, the hallway is fine. That's awesome. I hope that that's the case. I hope that we see that less and less. But I have not had that feedback yet.
Okay. And I know that the other frustrating thing is having everything you do be subject to grant funding. And I'm just wondering, is there a way for you to generate income by extending your services to people who are not low income and having them pay for it? I think there's a lot of, there are people who need some of these things and can afford it, but they get paralyzed by having, they don't know, you know, how they would do it or where it should go or how to find a handyman who knows how to do some things. And I just wondered if that would be an income stream for you all. I mean, I know your own capacity right now probably doesn't allow that, but you know what I mean, time-wise, but just a thought as to whether that would be helpful.
Yeah, we do have some people who have been over income. If they qualify for every other reason, you know, like they need something that we do, but they make too much money. Normally what I'll do, which doesn't necessarily help Rebuilding Together, is I'll get them the information for the contractor and let them work privately, because, you know, I'm able to say this contractor knows how to do what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Without doing that, they would have this additional fee for essentially having Rebuilding Together in the middle. And so I try to remove that. I do connect clients, you know, if it seems like they can just work with the contractor privately, but it probably would be an income stream. It just doesn't feel as kosher to me as the other way. But it's a good idea.
Well, thank you for helping people get what they need, regardless.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Anne, did you have another question? Or?
Oh, that was...
Okay. Eileen?
Kendall, can you itemize what is covered under DME, what Rebuilding Together calls DME?
Yeah, there's quite a few things, but essentially you should be thinking about... let me think. I'm going to go down my own mental list here. So sometimes smoke detectors will count, depending on the grant. Grab bars of various sizes, doesn't really matter. Raised toilet seats, toilet risers, like a shower bench, shower stool, whatever they need. A shower wand, usually with a hose attached, is something that we can do. And then air purifiers, sometimes air filters, commodes, we can do CO detectors, smoke detectors, and bed railings. And I can usually do, I'm blanking on the term for it right now, but railings like out a front door, stair railings, essentially. Mm-hmm. I can usually do that as well, like I had in the photo. So if somebody can compromise, which happens sometimes where they, you know, a ramp would be nice, but for now they can use a railing at their entryway, that is a really easy thing for us to do. We can do that on a Friday install, which cuts down on that cost tremendously.
Right. Thank you.
What does DME stand for?
Durable Medical Equipment.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions from group? All right. I don't see any. So, Kendall, do you have any final words of wisdom for us?
No. I mean, I don't want to discourage anyone from reaching out to me. If you have somebody who you think might be in need, I feel like oftentimes I get caught up in, you know, the funding's crazy. It's very hard for me to define in 20 minutes what we can do, but I'd rather have the conversation than not. So please do feel free to reach out to me. And if there's somebody we can help, we will. And if anybody has ideas, like all the ideas that were coming my way here today, I'll take those too. I appreciate it. And thank you for having me.
Right. So you do projects in Ashland, correct? It's just some of them are limited to the, some of the grants were limited to what cities you could work in.
Yeah, we do very limited work in Ashland at the moment. Honestly, we just don't get a lot of referrals out there.
Mm-hmm.
We had Ashland CDBG and that funding ran out. So until we have that funding again, obviously we don't have that. But we do have some grants that are all Jackson, Josephine County, like the HUD grant that I have is fine for Ashland. So we would do it if we had people asking for it.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you very much for enlightening us today. We appreciate the work
thank you
do and thanks for talking with us.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Have a good day. See you. Okay. Next on our agenda is standing reports, and I think we can probably kick it off with Commissioner Bachman, if you have anything to share with us.
Thank you. I do. We have a regular business meeting coming up this Wednesday, the day after tomorrow. We're live again for those, so anybody that wants to come on down, there are some opportunities, at least one big opportunity for public input. I'll go over some of these items on the agenda. Or we'll be live on television too, so it's easy to participate if you'd like in some fashion. It's a full agenda. We're going to have, we have a request to approve a non-standard memorial request. I'm not going to go into detail on that one. There's going to be a presentation from Friends of Ashland Parks and Open Space regarding the Citizens Initiative that was started last summer. And I'm going to defer to Mr. Gardner, who's going to be making that presentation as a representative of Friends of Parks and Open Space, if he wants to talk about it here or not. But it's a citizens initiative to dedicate food and beverage revenue to Ashland Parks and Recreation. There will be, we are working with Ashland Fire and Rescue on prescribed burns on parklands. And as you're well aware, the parks, but other organizations do quite a bit of burning up in the watershed this time of year to make fires in the summer less likely and less severe. Well, we have a lot of parks lands that need the same kind of treatment. So that would be very informative for those who would like to tune in on that. The East Main Park design is very near to being approved. But one of the things we're doing with it this round is we're having public input at the meeting. So if you or anybody you know has an interest in anything to do with that park, including the community garden, I am a community gardener in the Ashland Creek Park, and I know several people from that park will be there and have been participating with our Director Black on certain design features to do with the garden at the new East Main Park. So we could well be voting to approve or be asked to vote to approve that at this meeting. And then in addition to that, we're going to have a budget presentation from our director and his financial staff. And that will be interesting. I have looked at the numbers, but I don't have enough of a feel for them yet to say anything about them. And we haven't presented that to the city yet. So a lot going on this week. If you are interested in coming down to council chambers, we start at 6 and we are scheduled till 9, or it can be seen on the RV TV. So any questions? That's about all I want to do right now. Anne.
Muted.
I don't know that our committee has ever made a request of this nature, but we have talked actually during ASPEC when we were restructuring the program about the idea of having adult outdoor equipment adjacent to the children's equipment in the parks, and that's never gone anywhere. I don't know if this is the time to bring it up. Everybody's so concerned about budget issues, but it's sort of something that got lost, and I'm just wondering if that could be reinvigorated.
Well, I don't know if it fits in with the budget discussion, but certainly I'll take that back to the group. That's an interest of this subcommittee.
Well, it's my interest. I don't know about everybody.
At least one member of the subcommittee.
Yeah, nominate it. Yeah.
It has come up several times in the past. We'd have to take a straw vote to find out if other members present wanted to prioritize that, but the discussion had been potentially to do that at Hunter Park because we already have the children's playground next to the senior center, and it has a lot of potential there to use that location. So I certainly kept my eye out for things like grants, but that's a pretty spendy project. That equipment gets pretty pricey, but in a time where we had room to be a little more expansive, I think there might be a lot of interest in that.
And then the other suggestion I would have on that would be for the director, Eileen, to talk to, or the superintendent, Eileen, to talk to Director Black about that as a budgetable item at some point. I had one other thing, which is personal. I'm starting, at the advice of my doctor, even though I have not fallen, I'm reaching a milestone in May, and she wants me to take Tai Chi to improve my balance and strength. And I'm starting with the introductory class tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock at the Grove. And I highly recommend that anybody of a certain age might want to consider that. That's all I have.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Jim. Since we don't have a city council liaison, we really don't have anything from the council. I think it might be appropriate at this time just to bring to everyone's attention that there will be a Ashland Town Hall gathering on January 23rd. That's a Monday, 5:30 at the Old Ashland Armory on Oak Street. And the purpose of that town hall meeting is to identify priorities in the city 2023-25 budget. The biennium budget process will be starting in the next couple months. Well, it's actually starting now with the city staff and council, but that'll be happening on Monday the 21st. And I see Bob's hand up, and please go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Breaking news, it's being pushed back from the 23rd to the 30th
really?
Accommodate a schedule conflict. So it'll be on the 30th. At the same location at the same time instead of the 23rd. I think it's actually posted on the city's website today. Decision was taken this morning.
Okay. Do you have any other input on that at all?
I don't. There was a session that I watched, but didn't have the input to participate in the last study session in December. They were talking about putting dots on things and having tables and all that sort of thing, but I don't know anything more. So I'm actually kind of glad it's being postponed so we have maybe an opportunity to talk. Unfortunately, the city council schedule in January does not include the two study sessions that we'd normally have on Mondays, because Mondays are both holidays and this year. And the city council didn't take the step of rescheduling a study session for another day. That would be a time when it would be pretty profitable to actually organize ourselves in advance of this meeting. So I don't have much more information.
Okay. Anne? Muted.
I realize that you're, just barely there, so you can't really report out so much, but I'm just thinking in terms of a conduit into the city council. A couple of things. My question I'm wondering if the Citizens Town Hall is sort of a maybe a replacement for the longer budget committee process that has been in existence up until this year. Seems like it's the committee is coming in late in the game, and so maybe this is more of a comment. I'm just wondering if we're having a different approach to how we're budgeting and assessing what's being proposed. So I guess that's more of a comment. It just seems different. The other thing is that speaking for the senior program, it is part of the Parks and Recreation program, and I'm aware that with this food and beverage tax money being a petition for that being on the ballot, that there isn't a lot of time to see whether the council is in support of that, and it would be really valuable if they are. But we have, you know, we're concerned about funding for senior programs. When we did the ASPEC process, we saw lots of things that we could be doing for our way disproportionate number of seniors who live in Ashland. And yet the funding has been modestly more than it had been before the restructuring of the program. So a concern we would have is every time budgets come up, we're always concerned that budget cuts will impact senior services. So that's just a, I think I'm lobbying. Anyway, so I'm, you know, making that point that we really want to protect the funding for senior services and there.
Okay, great. So so noted, the town hall will be on the 30th of January, Monday at 5:30. And that's probably all we have from the city at this point. So we'll move on to the education report, and I'll turn it over to Natalie.
Mike, I guess I can say, just to comment on Anne's, and again, I'm not commenting as a council liaison, I'm counting as a member of the interested public, right? Who also served on the Citizens Budget Committee the last time. And we haven't yet heard exactly what the process is going to be, but Anne was saying, and I don't know if everybody knows, that the budget meetings are going to be scheduled, 5 budget meetings in May, I think, or 4 in May and 1 in June or something. It's very, very late. Previously, they started in mid-March, late March, and went for, you know, meetings every other week or so for a couple of months. So we haven't had a chance to discuss that yet with the city manager, although he has alerted us to that fact that that's on the look ahead. The other thing I would say is that in past budgets, it's been my understanding, and maybe Jim would be able to weigh in on this or others who have had the experience, that the budget committee really received the budget amount or that would be for parks as a whole, and it was the Parks Commission that approved the budget within that envelope. So it sounds like this next meeting on Wednesday is the appropriate meeting, at least at first, to get in Anne's lobbying for more money for seniors under the APRC budget. I don't know what's going to happen this year, and I don't know what the total envelope is. We haven't had that discussion yet, but I think those are the bigger questions to have as well. But I think the first step certainly is to make sure that there's full support within the Parks and Recreation Department.
I will comment. The first, I did 2 budgets. I was on the committee for 2 budgets. And the practice has been up until very recently that the Parks and Recreation Commission and through their director worked with the city to basically outline how much money, now that I'm a commissioner, the commission would need to run parks at Parks and Rec and senior services at the level that we think is necessary to fulfill our mission. Once an amount, which may or may not have been what we asked for, is approved, then the practice was to hands off in terms of management, how we spent the money really. We could move categories as long as it wasn't in violation of some other budget rule. That came into question with this last election and one of the measures where a city manager might have had the measure passed, had more control over everything. So nothing's changed, but it's unclear how the process is going to happen this year. And my first season, we started, I think, in late February, and we had time to go to state trainings and learn about the budget process state down to our level and do some other things that did not happen in the last session. So people were coming in cold. And I don't know what, because I'm no longer connected to that, what might be going on to prep incoming members. I believe there are 5 new members coming aboard to be appointed by the council. And get them ready for this. I hope there is more. Now I'm talking to Councillor Kaplan. I hope there is more of a process to onboard people and maybe even pre-select a chair in some organizational meeting so that when everybody sits down in one of those 5 meetings, if that sticks, that you're ready to go. So this, it's unclear what's going to happen this year. We have a new city manager and a new process, and we're all, those of us who have a stake in this budget or have served in the past on the committee are kind of curious to see how it goes.
Okay. Thank you. And one more comment. Muted.
I just wanted to point out that since the input seems to be coming later from people, and you know they can make testimonies and things like that to the budget committee meetings, I believe. Anyway, since that seems to be happening later, I think it's much more important for us to be at the January 30th meeting and have the opportunity to provide input, because there are lots of people who would like to cut services in the parks and recreation and senior services realm. And if those are the only voices that are being heard at that town hall, I think that would give a erroneous impression that certainly does not reflect the election results that we just went through.
So noted. Okay. Any other comments on that? If not, we'll move on to Natalie in the education report.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. I don't have much to say because we haven't added anything new. We'd already planned our educational presentations through April to go out with the winter spring Parks and Rec Play Guide, which you should all hopefully have at home if you're looking for anything to do. Enrollment's going really well. People are really responding to that, which is great to see. And enrollment is also very healthy in our regular programming. I mean, the introductory Tai Chi class, thanks for the publicity, Jim, it's already full. So That's very encouraging to see. Things are going well, and it's just nice to know that if we have everything lined up in time so we can get the word out early, then they will come. So that's going well. And one other thing, this past Saturday, the 7th, I was at the Ashland Library from 12 to 3 because they have a new program called Community Table, where I think every Saturday for a while they're going to pilot this. They have a different community agency or group staff an information table in the main lobby of the Ashland Library. So I did get to interact with quite a lot of people that way, letting people know what we offer, you know, both from our activity programming to the kinds of referral services we often help people get directed to. So that was good to just, again, build more awareness of who we are and what we can do for older adults in this community.
Excellent. Yeah. Any questions? Go ahead.
I just want to encourage Natalie. I think it's extraordinary how many new things are starting up in January. And for those that didn't study their plague guide really well, maybe you could just highlight that, Natalie.
Yes, or actually I will skip to the appropriate part of your report because it does such a good job of that on page 2 of 4. So we are no longer really doing anything through Zoom just because it really wasn't getting engagement and there is much more demand for in person. So we've added a third yoga class. And those are all that just started today. We have created a third really introductory level of Tai Chi. So we now have introductory, beginning, and intermediate. A new dance class by a Broadway dance teacher, Audrey Flint, but this time it's called Dancing the Oldies. So this is music from the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And I may not be that old, but that doesn't sound that long ago to me. So we also have a new game group playing the ancient Chinese game of Go. So that's just started and everyone's sharing the space and getting along well. I think we had 34 people here last Thursday, Eileen, playing games in the building, which was just really nice to have such a full house that way. Our walking group, again, is extremely popular. It doesn't start till February. It's already filled up. It's had a name change to Senior Walkabouts. And then not directly being offered through us, this is through the REC program, but there is a new dance class for people who are living with Parkinson's to be able to dance. And that's just another option. And it also, I think, goes to show that we don't have to put everything on ourselves, but if we can collect all the information and let people know from a trusted source that these are all options for them in the community, then that just enriches everyone. Thanks, Eileen.
Okay, thank you, Natalie. Appreciate your input and all the things you do. Thanks a lot. Next, I'll turn it over to Eileen, and you can give your superintendent report.
Great, thank you. As always, there's a lot of detail in your packet. Just to highlight a couple things, I want to actually thank all of you. Almost all of you, I think, helped with one of our three events that we had through the fall and winter. And it was really nice times, not only important help for us at big events, but times to connect from our ASAC members to some of our constituents. And so our October party where we had our grand opening of the outdoor space and the Thanksgiving event with the dinner with the firefighters and then our most recent holiday party, really couldn't have done it without the different people volunteering at different events. So thank you so much for that. And they were all a great success. It's really something to have gone back to big events inside even, you know, we kind of put our toe in the water with an outdoor event and then we took them inside. And I'm happy to say the phone hasn't been ringing telling us about all the people that got COVID after that event. I haven't heard one person getting at our event, so that feels pretty good. One of the things that's on my mind right now as we're going into budget season, maybe I'll just speak to a couple of things actually relevant to what was mentioned earlier. It does, with all the shifting around of budget that went on, it does look like more money is going to be in the capital improvement projects from that food and beverage tax, mostly because we were trying to use it to backfill some operations and just mostly city manager felt that that wasn't appropriate. So the good news is there might be more money for some deferred maintenance throughout the park system. And one of those has to do with replacing the roof at the senior center. Something like an adult playground, Anne, probably would have to come out of a capital improvement or a grant or a combination thereof. But I have to say, until we can get a new roof on the senior center, I can't in good conscience propose an adult playground on that list. So I don't see it for this biennium, maybe the next one. that as far as a proposal for me. That said, all that advocating makes a difference in how the budget gets spent. So, but I have to look at my big picture here. Another thing that I am beginning to advocate for, and I may call on some of you when it gets to that stage, you are aware that the city has a utility discount program. I think I presented on that a few meetings ago. I presented on a few of those services. I have been aware for a long time that people who are really very low income and really struggling are not qualifying for that program because it uses an extremely low income bar to get the year-round senior or disabled discount. I won't bore you with a lot about federal poverty levels and median incomes and all the ways that income levels are managed, but it came to my attention in a webinar I was in, someone from the federal Medicare, the head of Medicare at the federal level, someone asked, well, what's the income level for qualifying for Medicaid? And that person said that it's typically 138 of federal poverty to 150. And I'd never heard it said in crisp numbers because it's a really complicated qualification for Medicaid. And I was stunned, really, because Medicaid is very hard to qualify for. It's a very low bar, yet our utility discount has been at 100 and 125% of poverty level, quite a bit below. And that really opened my eyes. And with going into the budget season, obviously it will have a budget impact if that bar is changed and more people hear about it and more people qualify. So it's something the city would have to account for in the budgets of public. It comes out of a combination of public works and utility and all kinds of other budgets. But I'm beginning that conversation first with city staff, and then we'll be taking it to the city manager and the deputy city manager, because they've asked, what are the needs? What are the unmet needs? And I think changing that utility discount, that would also automatically change who qualifies for the lower cost internet that Ashland Fiber Network offers, because they base it on the same qualifications. So that's a little project, one of many projects in the works. The other thing that I'm aware of is Natalie and I, when we lost our third staff person, and then that became the long-term reality with all the budget pressure, we've had to think in terms of drawing in a little bit and, you know, trying to figure out how we were going to keep everything that we did have running. And it's really extraordinary to me that in a way we've kind of found our feet under ourselves. We've had some great volunteers. It's always a little patchwork with volunteers because they don't have a finite amount of vacation they can take per year. So it's not a substitute for staff, but it's been a lifesaver for Natalie and I having Kathy as the mm-hmm. one who puts in the most hours with that, and two other volunteers, Janine and Patty. We found that. We've got a little bit of time from a new staff person that was hired that is mostly a small percent for senior services. I think you've heard that mentioned in this meeting before. So it's 20.25 or 25% for senior services. And mostly we're asking for that help with vacation coverage and things like that, and coverage when our volunteers are gone. So it's a little better position, but mostly it's just that things have calmed down a little bit, and Natalie did an amazing sum of work actually before she went on her vacation to line up these new programs. And some of the new programs have come from the instructors that as they've come back after COVID and their classes have grown and people have gotten used to it, some classes wear masks, some don't. And they have, you know, the demand has grown and the classes are filling up, and some of it came from the teacher saying, okay, I'm ready to add another section. Or in the case of her Tai Chi teacher, I think I need to teach a really introductory level for the new people coming in. They can't just jump into a beginning class that's been going on for a while. So I guess it feels like a little bit of a ray of hope that we're expanding a little bit in some new directions. One of the things that we hope to do this year is bring back our cookout with as a collaboration with the Ashland Police Department. I'm still working on who our sponsor is going to be because the sponsor does the heavy lifting with all the food they provide. But Chief Ty O'Mara grills those patties, you know. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but also needing to keep in mind that we still aren't a three-person staff, and we have to be careful not to get too overextended and burn out the incredibly valuable resources that we have in Natalie, for instance. So that's where I'll stop unless there's any questions.
Any questions for Eileen? Go ahead, Ann.
Well, first of all, you know, there are some, I would say, savings that you get by not having a third person. Is a little bit of a false savings, because I know that you would be able to be applying for grants and things like that if you had more time. And that is, so I don't know, it's a false economy, but I just want to give you kudos for the way you are dealing with this shortage. And both you and Natalie are working very hard. And Kathy, I know you're putting in tons of hours. And also, you're doing such a wonderful job of marshaling the sponsor opportunities. I mean, you know, you're seeing that tie-in with people who have an interest in the senior population. And I don't think we've ever seen, prior to your being there, the kind of sponsorships that you're getting from the retirement communities and some of the other ones. And again, I know you could do more of that if you had more time. So I do hope that, now I'm speaking to Commissioner Bachman, that as you're allocating monies for the senior program, you realize that staffing is actually in some ways a money saver because of the ability to attract grants and sponsors. So.
Any other questions or comments on Eileen's presentation? Okay, thank you, Eileen. Thanks for everything you do, for sure. We'll move on to item number 7, which is an item from ASAC members, and I'll turn it over to Sandy and Ann on any Livable Ashland Alliance updates.
Well, I'll start out since Ann's been talking and I haven't.
Okay, please do.
So thanks. And I just, in relation to our previous discussion, I just want to add my kudos to what you guys are doing and just say, you know, the opportunities to meet and interact with clients at the three volunteer things that I've participated in and everybody else has also really are very meaningful. And I think sometimes when you serve on a board or a commission, you can kind of get separate from the people that you're really there to serve. And so that really helps, I think, to bring faces and personalities to the group that we're serving. So thank you for involving us in those kinds of things. So Livable Ashland, we continue to meet. We had a meeting last week. We've been meeting every other month, so we don't meet that frequently. And mainly what we've been doing at our meetings is having representatives talk about what they're doing, and some by themselves, some in collaboration to others. We continue to get synergy of people saying, well, I need this, and somebody else saying, well, I can help with that. Example, talking about falling, was Lori from the Y was talking about they'd like to have another class to prevent falls, and she couldn't find presenters. So Steve Hirsch from the hospital said, well, I can help with that. So that's just an example of how we really think the Livable Ashland Alliance can work. And we did ask people to commit to different initiatives that they feel drawn to, some that their organization is already doing. So it's not really making more work for people. But again, kind of Natalie, you said, you know, we can take credit for for what other people are doing. And this is kind of that also. The other thing that we're involved in, mainly Ann and I are involved in, is looking at the possibility of finding a fiscal sponsor. And I'm not really ready to go into detail about that, but we've been doing a fair amount of behind the scenes work in that, because that's what it takes. This is a new entity, and forging new alliances. And so there needs to be a lot of groundwork, and that's kind of what we're involved in. So Ann, you want to add?
Well, just that and we're at the stage where we're supposed to be having an action plan, and I think the last meeting, just by asking people to take on some commitments of initiatives that they will shepherd, was good, and that kind of leads to an action plan. And where we would find this fiscal sponsor useful in particular is with a project coordinator. Right now, to the extent that's happening, it's being done by Sandy and me, and it's a different skill set. And I think we realized that it would be helpful to have a fiscal sponsor who either allows us to get donations or grants for funding a position like that, or if the fiscal sponsor has some capacity within their staff for doing some of that kind of work, anything from administrative support to really taking on the project management. And I guess the one thing that I know, we're sort of all focused on older adults, but one of the things that I thought was most exciting for this intergenerational aspect of Livable Ashland is that it looks like the Y is really going to take on some significant work around childcare, and we'll let them announce that, but That was exciting to hear, because I know we're hearing people in the community that can't go back to work because they can't find childcare. And the Y had kind of done a lot of that in the past. And it sounds like they're going to not only replicate what they were doing, but actually get a little more involved. So that was good news. And, one person who's doing something significant in the age-friendly area is Noriko. And I don't know whether you were here last time when we met, but you might want to provide an update on that, because a livable, an age-friendly SOU is definitely something you've been involved with. Unmute.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you very much for asking. Actually, that kind of my kind of proposal has been kind of accepted by the president and then high administrative staff. And then I send all the information that it should be sent by the president to president of the university headquarters, universities in Dublin, Ireland, so that I'm waiting for the, yes, their kind of, yes, the information when they send it. It's a little bit take time for me to find out, because that they are really kind of top administrative stuff. But it's kind of, yes, approved. And then I think that the university will kind of move forward to applying for the age-friendly university global network membership. And then thank you. Related to that, I'm going to teach, just kind of advertisement and a request for you. I'm going to teach psychology of aging, two sections, this kind of coming this winter term. And then I'm looking for the older adults who could come to our class and then join the discussion on the movies, two different types of movies. One is the topic is romantic relationship, meaning of the romantic relationship in later life. And we are going to watch the movie of the kind of modern love. It's episode one. Episode one, and then kind of fifth story. It's by the Amazon Premiere. And then we will watch that kind of short movie. It's 17 minutes together. And then after that, the older adults and then kind of students will discuss the movie and then find out their answer. Okay. Exchange the ideas of romantic relationship in later life. And then that will be the February 9th, Thursday. And the other one is the March 14th, and the topic will be the meaning in life and how it will be changed over the adulthood. And then, we are going to watch the movie of the Life as a House. And then it's a long movie, but it's available at kind of YouTube, and I will reimburse the rental fees for everyone, so that I will create some kind of small flyers and then put all the information. And then, yeah, I will greatly appreciate if you could deliver this information. Thank you.
Well, sign us up.
What? Oh, thank you. Great.
Sign us up. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm kind of working if we could kind of serve some refreshment or lunch to somebody's month. Right now, I'm working. Thank you.
Well, it's truly intergenerational kind of thing that fits very well with the goals of Livable Ashland. And is, I know, because when Mary Russell Miller was your predecessor and had some of the similar kinds of older adult interactions with students, it was, they loved it. So, yeah, I think you
Thank
get
you.
A lot of triggers.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Any additional comments on the Livable Ashland Alliance? Okay. Then next on our agenda would be any other items from ASAC members, anyone that has any items that they'd like to bring up. Corey, go right ahead.
This is not grandiose at all, but I think it's a very practical need that we have in the community. Several times I've been at the grocery store with seniors shopping who don't know how to use their digital device to get their coupons and their discounts. And like the checkers have said to me, we don't have the time to help them. I've had this happen 3 times now. So I'm actually putting a class together, not just for Ollie, but I think we ought to have it through the senior center because not all seniors are members of Ollie. And it would just be something like grocery shopping in the digital age to really show them how to use their devices to get to their weekly ads, because we don't have a newspaper that they can touch in ads unless they go into the store, and then they have to get that onto their smartphone, and they don't. Anyway, I think it's just a simple thing, but I think it's necessary for our seniors.
So is that something that, Natalie, do you have a comment on that?
Well, first of all, Corey, if you put together the class and can teach it, that would be fantastic. It's definitely a need that I'm aware of. You know, we have one-on-one computer tutors here. And that is something that they've been telling me that is often something they're helping people with. It's something as basic as how do you get coupons like that. So things like that, it makes sense to teach in a class setting and not do one-on-one tutoring. So the problem for us
is it has to be a small class, and we'd have to have two parts of it. We'd have to have the actual education and how to put that app on their phone and how to put things into their cart, and if they want them delivered, how they can do that, because there's set up help with that. They don't understand that they can actually
definitely
order.
They can ask, but we can we can show like your smartphone on the TV so they can follow along to see, and everyone's phone might be a little different. But what I was going to say is the big barrier for me in particular is finding somebody who's able to teach that for free. And so if you're willing to specialize.
No, that's something I would have several people to.
Right, but basically
help.
Someone who can do that, because it's so specific within our digital education program. Like our concern is to just try to increase digital literacy, but I can see that that's a need where that could really benefit a lot of people immediately, and teaching that specifically. So I would love to chat with you about this, about getting something, you know, as early as May or June here at the Senior Center.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm putting some that together for Ollie, but all our seniors aren't part of Ollie. So just something
right. To
put together.
Thank you. Well, let's chat about it. So if I can help too, let me know.
Right. Well, absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's a good connection then. We'll plot the progress on something like that. Anything else from other members? Being none, we had item number 8 was the next meeting is on March 13th. Was there anything specific about that, Eileen, that, or you just wanted to make sure that we knew when the next meeting was?
That's just a standing item on the agenda, but there is no specific agenda items. You know, I have a running list of possible speakers, but if there's something, since we have an extra minute or few minutes here, is there a particular topic that some of you would like to see? It's part of how we educate ourselves on what the needs and the solutions are for seniors in our community. Any topic that feels pressing?
Anne?
Well, I don't know if this, I would see this as a burning topic, but I'm just wondering if there would be an opportunity to give input, and maybe the timing, I don't know, input to Director Black about things that we could see in the form of parks and recreation for seniors, for more things within our program. But anyway, budget input directly to the budgeter. I don't know.
He'd probably be willing. And, you know, he would be willing time as long as he wasn't committed elsewhere. So I can ask him for that.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Great.
Any other items like that, burning issues that members would like to see as a program?
Oh, I just thought of another one. You know, Deborah's a death doula, and it's a, profession that a lot of people don't know about, but so few people are aware that they are not going to have a medical person at their bedside, and the value of a death doula. So, I could see it as a awareness for us. I could also see it as an educational program for clients.
Great suggestion.
Yeah, that kind of would tie into end of life care planning, really.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted
mm-hmm.
to call it that, you know, death doula. I don't know. I tend to go by end of life care planning, which encompasses the advanced directive advising, getting your affairs in order,
mm-hmm.
you know, planning for one's, you know, end of life. And, yeah. It would be interesting to measure the interest in that topic. I mean, I don't know, usually people avoid, you know, death, but I think it might be good to look at in the spring or later.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll put it on our list, and probably Natalie will reach out to you, Deborah. I've been surprised. We've tried to do that topic most recently, I know we had one in 2022, and there's been quite a bit of interest in it. I think it's a lot about the framing, but I'm happy to say that people do get it, that it's something they need to think about. And there's always more people who need a chance to attend that topic. So.
Yeah, good.
I don't know. I think the other thing is Ashland at Home is reconstituted or is mm-hmm. in process, maybe mm-hmm. something in that area. You know, I was thinking when we were talking about rebuilding together, which is that, you know, people can stay in their home with a ramp, but then are they going to be able to get care in their home? And so some of us here, Deborah and me, for example, are involved in these care circles, and we're sort of trying to expand them. It's sort of a mini version of the village movement, but the care resource is so very low, and I don't even know if all of us realize just how much the prices have escalated and the supply of caregivers has shrunk. And so these are ways that people who might not be able to afford full-time, or they might not be able to afford hiring paid caregivers, might be able to reduce the need for them through these care circles or utilizing the Ashland at Home. So being more informed about informal supports would be good as we you know, educate clients about their opportunities.
Yeah. Sandy?
I was just wondering if Eileen and Natalie have anything. I mean, what are you seeing as real needs out there? And are there organizations that are helping with that and inviting those? I mean, that's kind of where that list is coming from, I know. But mm-hmm. is there something that's really kind of right on the top right now mm-hmm. that we could learn about? I mean, it's all informative. So I'm just wondering, what don't we know about that we need to
yeah.
know about?
Yeah. Well, I really do have a whole list of different services, and I'll see what I can line up for next time, depending, you know, that's good to, if nothing else, I'm going to add these additional ideas, and we'll see who can time it with our next meeting. I thought about having even a bit of a panel on some of the programs for low-income people, because those are the biggest needs, people who have limited financial resources. And, you know, we've focused on the primary needs, right? We've done presentations related to housing, utility assistance, food, back to the housing today about those home repairs. Those are the fundamental needs that get to be a strain for many people. And there's some others that are a little more social service oriented about, things like care planning and navigating. So we might just bring a little panel of those if you want us to focus on the biggest needs. I see Natalie's got her hand up.
I think one thing that to not lose sight of too is just mental wellness and health. I mean, I think during the pandemic, it became very clear how isolation and loneliness affect all of us, but that being a significant factor. And, you know, maybe Eileen, we can get some of the RVCOG programs to come and talk down about how they operate or AgeWise, AgeWell, because we do have some good resources for that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So what Natalie says reminds me, sometimes we've encouraged you all to attend one of our presentations that we're doing for the public, because it gets us double benefit. And there is an older adult behavioral health specialist serving the county. Right now, she is working under Jackson County Mental Health, and she's going to be doing a presentation for us. Natalie, do you have that date?
Yes, the 18th, next Wednesday.
Yeah, so consider that. I know you all get our newsletter. If you want to learn what some of the services are in the mental wellness arena, you might consider attending that.
It starts at 1, but 1 to about 2:30.
Okay.
And we appreciate sign up so we know how many people to set up for. You can just shoot Natalie or I an email if you wanted to attend that to make it simple.
Okay.
Thanks for those ideas, everyone. That was helpful.
Yeah. Look forward to having a panel in March. That'd be fun. Informative. Okay. Any other comments, ideas from anyone? Well, great. This was another good meeting of the ASAP crew. Once again, wish everyone a happy new year and look forward to, you know, as was brought out earlier in the meeting, the budget series will be happening this spring. It'll be an important time for APRC and all the divisions, as well as the city, for sure. So we're counting on Jim and Bob to pull us through as the spring wears on. So, once again, thanks for your attendance today, and everyone, thanks for coming, Bob. We appreciate it, and we'll see everyone in 2 months.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Thank you for having me. Meeting adjourned.